The reading is from Psalm 22. It is Psalm 22. It's at page 543 in the black Bibles in front of you. 543, Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted you and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb, you made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions tearing their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, it has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me and a band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honour him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you will I fulfil my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it.
Good evening, church. How are you doing this evening? Well, good to see you. My name is James Barnett. It's nice to see you if I haven't met you before. Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt isolated from people? I used to live on my own a couple of years ago. Just after I finished school, I was studying at university before I got married. So I wasn't under my parents and I wasn't with my wife yet. And I was living on my own. And it was great. I could eat as much pizza as I liked. I could play as much Xbox as I wanted. But it wasn't all fun and roses. Some days I would get home from a long day at uni. I would come home to my cold, empty house. There was no one in there. And I would ask, why haven't all my clothes been washed? Who has left all of these dishes and pots in the sink? And why have they now gone moldy? Maybe I should just throw them out and get new ones. Maybe you haven't just felt alone. Maybe you felt abandoned. Maybe you haven't just felt alone, but you felt separated from people. There's a gulf between you. There's a body of water between you and the people around you. Now, I don't want to depress you in my last 40 minutes of church here at St. Paul's, but loneliness is a part of life. And there are times that we want to and need to be alone. I hear that when I have a child. I'm going to remember fondly those times when I was allowed to be alone. Not only can we feel alone, but we can feel a gulf between us and people, even when we're surrounded by people. Have you ever felt alone or abandoned by God? That the God who is supposedly all-powerful just isn't there? Or maybe he doesn't hear your prayers. Or maybe he hears your prayers but chooses to ignore them. It can really make you doubt your faith. You know, you've been a Christian for a number of years, but you've never seen Jesus. How can you know he's there? These feelings of loneliness and abandonment can make you doubt your faith. This is how King David feels in Psalm 22. If you've got your Bibles there, open them up with me. Psalm 22. He cries out to God about how alone he is. And it's not that he just feels alone, but he feels abandoned by God. This is King David. He had maidservants and men servants, wives, he had generals and armies at his command. He felt alone. And he's not just complaining about feeling alone. He's complaining about three things: that he's abandoned, that he's separated from God, and that he's being attacked. These are the three things we're going to have a look at tonight. Let's have a look at that first one in verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. You can really feel David's pain and anguish behind this. He really feels alone. David, like us, knows what it is to be abandoned. And he's crying out for attention, but doesn't get any. God seems so far off. Why have you forsaken me, God? Why have you turned your face away and will not look at me? Now, we don't know the exact time or situation that David wrote this. It could have been one of a number of opportunities. It could have been while he was being chased by Saul, hiding in a cave somewhere, or maybe when he was king over Israel. But what is clear is that these are the thoughts that are passing through his mind in the midst of trouble, suffering, and sorrow, and that he feels abandoned. Although he feels forsaken and abandoned by God, have a look at that first word in verse 1. He calls him my God. He's not some foreign God. Even in his deep despair, he still has faith. He still believes in God. He looks to God for his refuge. But he wants to know why. Why are things this way? Why do I feel abandoned by you, God? Now, there is not one person that hasn't asked this question. If you believe in God, the question will be, God, why are things this way? God, why are there wars in the world? God, why do you let little children die so young? Why is the economy falling apart? If you don't believe in God, the question may be more along the lines of, how can mankind be so cruel? How come mankind hasn't fixed world hunger? But if you're a Christian and you do believe in God, the temptation here is to set yourself apart from him. God, why are you over there? Why haven't you fixed my problems? But David here calls him my God. From this position of closeness and dependence is where he asks him why the things are this way. And he persists in asking. Have a look at verse 2. Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. by night and am not silent. Can you see the constancy of his faith? He's not just shooting up one prayer and going, God, can you fix today? Thank you very much. He's crying out for days and nights and yearning for God to fix these issues. The beauty of this verse is that shows that God is someone who will listen to our complaints, even if you have no one else that will listen to you. God will listen to your complaints and your desires and your expectations. You can unburden them on him. David here with verse 3 seeks a remedy to his problems of feeling abandoned. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you, our fathers put their trust. They trusted and were not disappointed. David knows that God is not some kind of disgruntled child with all this power who's just toying with people. But he's a holy God who loves and cares for his people. David knows that he is a generous father and he has poured out grace on previous generations. And he has remembered what has happened in the past. Throughout the history of the fathers of Israel, they have cried out to God and not been disappointed. Moses in the Old Testament before David, on the way to the promised land, regularly cries out to God. God, I'm starving, and all of these people that you've sent with me, we've got no food. Please, will you help us? And God doesn't disappoint. God, we have no water. We're in the desert. We are really thirsty. And God acts and does not disappoint. God, we're being attacked by enemies on all sides. And God does not disappoint. David knows that he's not alone in crying out to God. He is in good company. God has been with his forefathers and will be with him. When you feel alone or abandoned by God, it is important to remember two things. The first is that God is holy. He will not let you down. He will not toy with you or seek to cause you pain. But he is a generous father who gives all good things. And the second thing to remember when you feel abandoned is that he has worked in the past and he still does now. Spend time in the Word, read your Bible, continue to see what God has done in the past. But also, talk to fellow believers. If you're in a small group, talk to the people there. When you come to church, talk to your fellow Christians. Find out what God has been doing in their life. Because if you feel that God is not listening to your cry, but he's heard somebody else's, that will be a great encouragement that he is there and he does meet his people's needs. David's second cry in Psalm 22 is about being distant from God. Have a look at verse 6 with me. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. David is feeling abandoned and alone from God. But he's also feeling this gulf between himself and God. God is holy and he is a worm. He's not even on the ground, he's under the ground. He is nothing compared to God. He is a worm crawling in the dirt, good for nothing. But God is high above man. Have you ever thought this about yourself? Have you ever felt insignificant? God doesn't even hear my prayers. He is so big and powerful. I'm sure that he's got bigger concerns. You know, there's all these wars going on at the moment. There's the world economy that's falling apart. God's taking care of those things. I'm so small and insignificant. He doesn't really worry about me. So, look, I just try and take care of myself. And maybe it's worthwhile going without God for a while because he is so busy. I heard about a reverend, I heard a story recently about Reverend Eric and his faithful student minister apprentice, James. And they decided to go on a camping trip to see God through nature. And they hiked out to a lovely wooded spot. There was a stream nearby and there was lovely trees and there was a flat patch. And they set up the tent. Well, the student minister apprentice, James, did most of the work. And so that night they got into the tent and they fell asleep. Some hours later, Reverend Eric woke up and he woke up his student and said, "James, look up at the sky and tell me what you see." James replied, "I see millions of stars. What does that tell you?" Well, James pondered for a minute. "Astronomically speaking, it tells me there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, it tells me that Saturn is in Leo. Time-wise, it appears to be approximately 3:15. Theologically, it's evident that the Lord is all-powerful and we are small and insignificant. Meteorologically, it seems we will have a beautiful day tomorrow. Rev, what does it tell you?" Reverend Eric was silent for a moment and then spoke, "James, you idiot, someone's stolen our tent." When we take our eyes off what is important, we can get caught up looking in the wrong direction. We can feel insignificant before God because we can focus on how great and mighty He is. And that's right to do, but not at the expense of feeling insignificant. If we don't see that God is very close, we can get lost. We can focus on the stars in the sky instead of the fact that there is no tent. David's response to feeling distant and insignificant is in verse 9. "Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God." Before we were born, God has showed his fatherly love towards us. Now, if you didn't notice it before, my lovely wife is very pregnant, just over 8 months, and I love my unborn baby. I have a lot of fun with it. It's kicking like mad at the moment. It's probably kicking right now. I don't know. Is it? No? Oh, that's a shame. And what it does, I feel its little feet kicking on the side. And what I love to do is just poke back at them. Alyssa doesn't really like it because it hurts, but I love to do it. I've been with Alyssa for all of the scans, but we don't know what the sex of the baby is. And I think it's more exciting this way. But the thing is, God knows our baby. God knows the sex of our baby. God knows whether it's going to be a boy and it's going to come to the cricket with me, or whether it's going to be a girl and come to the cricket with me. God has intimately known all of us from the very beginning until now. And he knows what he has in store for us in the future. Alyssa and my baby is very significant for us. We've watched it grow. You know, I've dealt with the hormones, mine, not hers. You know, it's very significant for us. But for you, it's not that significant. I know it might sound a little bit harsh to say, but you haven't watched it grow. That's just what it's going to be, and you probably won't see us very often after tonight. But for us, it is very significant. All of us are very significant for God, regardless of how you feel, whether it's like David in this passage, feeling like a worm. If you feel that you are too insignificant for God or too sinful for him, remember that he knit you in your mother's womb. He knows you regardless of how you feel. Now, not only is David feeling alone and distant from God, but he's also being attacked on every side. Have a look at verse 12. "Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions tearing their prey open their mouths wide against me." Then down in verse 16, "Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet." It's a pretty bleak picture that David paints. He's got massive bulls with sharp teeth and pointy horns on this side. He's got roaring lions with their claws and their wide mouths over here. He's got the hunting dogs coming down at him, ready to grab him, ready to tear out his throat. And he's got this band of evil men behind him. And this image of his hands being pierced, it's an image of defensive wounds from the swords and the animals coming at him. But again, David doesn't let this situation take him to despair. He cries out to God, who is his strength, and he knows that he will save him because he has done it in the past for Israel. Verse 24, for he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. David's cry has been heard, and he spends the rest of this psalm praising God's name. God does not hide his face from us when we feel far from him, when we feel alone, when we feel abandoned or attacked. He listens to our cries, and he does act. With the sending of Jesus, God acts so that we're not alone. Jesus bridges the gap and shows that we are significant enough for God to die for us. And he faces the attacks in isolation instead of us. Flick over with me to Mark chapter 15, verse 33. This is while Jesus is being crucified. Mark 15, verse 33. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Just before Jesus dies on the cross, he quotes Psalm 22, asking that question that David asked, where are you, God? Why won't you save me? Jesus was there for the reason that you've likely heard before. He was forsaken by God, abandoned on that cross, because he was taking the place for sinners. The ultimate penalty for sinning against God is being forsaken, being abandoned by God forever, separated from God in that eternal place of destruction, hell. In order for Jesus to bear that penalty, he had to be forsaken by God. Jesus is abandoned on the cross, but he's also distant from God. David considered himself a worm, but God is cursing Jesus on that cross. This distance created between the Father and Son is again for our benefit, so that we would not be cursed by God. Jesus was sent to bridge the gap, the distance caused by our sin. In his death, we have been raised to new life with God. And he is also the one that is attacked on our behalf. The words of Psalm 22 are literally prophetic for Jesus. From verse 16, they have pierced my hands and my feet. And verse 18, they divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. And while Jesus is being crucified, in verse 15:24, it says they crucified him, hammering nails through his hands. And they divided up his clothes. They cast lots to see what each would get. Jesus is the one that is attacked on our behalf. Whereas David is attacked by evil men and dogs, he has defensive wounds on his hands. Jesus willingly goes to the cross to be crucified so that we could be protected by God. So, my friends, let me remind you this day that you are not alone. When you feel abandoned by God, when you are asking that question, where are you, God? Remember that God sent Jesus and he was abandoned so that we are not. Remember that he made you and he knows you intimately as a father. If you feel insignificant or worthless, or that you are too sinful for God, remember that he considers you significant enough that he sent Jesus to die for you, that he would be the one that his hands would be pierced for us. When you feel alone or distant from God, remember Jesus has been there too, so that we can be brought close and protected by God. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to know that we are not alone. Remind us in our despair that you sent Jesus so that we could know you. In your Son's name I pray. Amen.